Wahe Guru, the ecstasy of the divine, God. Good day, good people. I am Brother Robert Farrell. Welcome to Contemplative Inner Beings Wisdom Wednesday. Wisdom Wednesday is recorded live on Crowdcast, and we invite all of our podcast and YouTube listeners to join us live each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central on Crowdcast. That way you can join in the conversation that happens after our reflections. Whether you are here for the live session or you are enjoying the recording, thank you for being here. Wisdom Wednesday is created as an invitation to open up to the depths of yourself, your intellect, your will, your emotions. Because wisdom isn't knowing more, it's knowing with more of you. Yes, to open up to the ground of wisdom, which is the transformation of human consciousness and the heart. Today, we're going to encounter three brief wisdom contemplations. Each one of those is going to be followed by a minute or so of silence where you're invited to the spiritual practice of resonate, reflect, respond, rest. It's a time to resonate, to see if something connects with you, and it might be symbolized by a word or a phrase that you hear. Reflect is an opportunity to ponder deeply, to meditate with images and words. Respond, you can respond in all kinds of ways, such as journaling or prayer or body movement. And rest is just to simply be silent and open to the presence and action of divine love in your life. And then we will close with a spiritual practice. I like to share one each week. And then we'll enter into group dialogue. And today's theme is restorative justice. So with an open heart, with a calm-centered presence, with a comfortable and alert and dignified posture, we take a gentle breath together, and we begin. How does the concept of God's restorative justice and the transformative power of love impact your personal spiritual journey and your understanding of justice and relationships? Friends, as we read the Bible, we find out that God doesn't change as much as our knowledge of God evolves. And this biblical notion of justice, if we read carefully and honestly, we see that God's justice is restorative. After the people's transgressions, the prophets tell us in effect, and here's what Yahweh will do for you. God will now love you more than ever. God will love you into wholeness. God will pour upon you a gratuitous, unbelievable, unaccountable, irrefutable love that you will finally be unable to resist. Yes, God punishes us by loving us more. How else could divine love be supreme and victorious? God's justice is fully successful when God can legitimate and validate human beings in their original and total identity. You see, God wins by making sure we win, just as any loving parent does. And love is the only thing that transforms the human heart. And Jesus reveals this divine wisdom, that love takes the shape and symbolism of healing and radical forgiveness. That love transforms people at the moments when they most hate themselves, when they most feel shame or guilt, or when they want to punish themselves. God's message? My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. Friends, we think fear, anger, divine intimidation, threat, and punishment are going to lead people to love. But we cannot lead people to the highest level of motivation by teaching them the lowest. God always and forever models the highest. And our task? Well, our task is merely to imitate God. Now, the word for justice in the Bible is the same word as righteousness. And this overlap shows that the central concern of biblical justice is making right what was done wrong, restoring what had been restored, restoring what had been destroyed, healing the wounds of an offensive act. It is about bringing balance and wholeness back to the community. And real justice goes much deeper than balance or eye for an eye. So the best contemporary translation for this ancient notion of justice, righteousness, is restorative justice. Jesus's vision begins from a conviction that God's deepest hope for humanity is that we live with God and with one another in relationships that are just. It's the vision of shalom, wholeness, harmony, and peace. And the task of those who follow Jesus is to live in just relationships with one another, to work at restoring to wholeness those people and relationships that they and others have broken, and to repair as best they can what cannot be restored. So this practice of right relationships and the healing of those people who are broken, restorative justice focuses on the present and the future needs of the victim, the perpetrator, and society in order to repair what has been broken or stolen from the victim, to bring the perpetrator to acceptance of responsibility, and to mend the threads that hold society together. So let's take a moment now to resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. How does the concept of restorative justice challenge your understanding of justice and accountability in your own life and society? And how might it inform your approach to healing and reconciliation? Restorative justice is about speaking truth in the service of forgiveness. Jesus, the 12 steps of AA, and many other wisdom traditions show that sin and mistake and failures are in fact an opportunity for the transformation and enlightenment of the offender. Mere counting and ledger keeping and meritocracy, retributive justice, reward and punishment are not the way of the gospel. Our best self wants to restore relationships. Friends, this is the economy of grace. What humanity really needs is an honest exposure of the truth and accountability for what has happened. Only then can human beings move ahead with dignity. Hurt needs to be spoken and heard. It doesn't just go away on its own. And this can lead to restorative justice, which is what the scripture teaches us. If you bring forth that which is within you, it will save you. If you do not bring it forth, it will destroy you. Not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced. We cannot heal what we do not acknowledge. What we do not consciously acknowledge will remain in control from within, festering and destroying us and those around us. Only mutual apology, healing, and forgiveness, only those offer a sustainable future for humanity. We all need to apologize and we all need to forgive, or this human project will surely self-destruct. You see, friends, forgiveness is to let go of our hope for a different past. Reality is what it is, and such acceptance leads to great freedom. As long as there is also both accountability and healing forgiveness. Biblical justice it's complex. It's a multifaceted reality. It relates to every dimension of human experience. And it has many different applications. And the term that best describes the spirit and direction of biblical justice, both social justice and criminal justice, is the word restorative. Restorative justice, it flows from God's own being and designates the way God intends the world to be. Things have fallen into disorder. The shalom of creation has been ruptured. And God responds by seeking to restore the world to the way that it ought to be. Biblical justice seeks to restore dignity and autonomy to those who have been unjustly deprived of access to sufficient resources in order to meet their own basic needs for physical survival and human fulfillment. God acts to reconstruct shalom by overthrowing oppressive powers and setting victims free, and by healing the destructive legacy of sin and death. And to know this God is to learn about the meaning of restorative justice. To love this God is to join in God's great campaign to restore justice to the world. Restorative justice is not about upholding individual rights, but protecting the well-being of communities. Restorative justice summons us to live within the confines of covenantal community, where we actively pursue communal flourishing, where we consider the interest of others, particularly the least of these, and where we prioritize the restoration of righteous relationships in the face of harm. Take a breath, friends. Let your heart receive as we resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. How does your personal preference for punishment or restorative justice align with the concept of God's approach to justice and transformation? And what insights can you gain from this reflection? The question we really need to ask is, do we like restorative justice? Because if we're honest, we will admit that we like to see people get punished. We like to see people in jail and for them to get what they deserve. But how different God is from humanity. We don't know God, agree with God, or understand God, and we think in such a small way. We think fear and anger and judgment and punishment are going to achieve love. But show me where has this ever happened? And here's the great surprise of the Hebrew Scriptures. People are not going to get what they deserve. They are going to get much better than they deserve. God says, the way I punish you, this vindication, this retribution, is actually going to be by loving you more and loving you more deeply. Has anyone's heart ever been changed by punishing them? Love is the only thing that transforms the human heart. Nothing else. Now, repentance is not complete until there's confession and pardon that lead to penance that allows community to be restored. See, penance is not for the purpose of inflicting pain. It's for the much higher purpose of changing lives by restoring relationships. Some of us still long for a way both to engage the consequences of our mistakes and to have a hand in repairing the damage we have done. We want to participate in our own redemption instead of sitting around while Jesus does all the work. We want to be agents of God's grace. So restorative justice asks, what harm was done? What is needed to repair the harm? Who is responsible for repairing it? And penance is the acceptance of responsibility for repair. And it is one of the most healing things a repentant can do, as well as one of the most painful. True repentance promises us reunion with God and with one another. It promises us restoration to community and to all the responsibilities that go along with life in relationship. Take a breath once more. Let your heart receive as you resonate, reflect, respond, rest. Friends, our spiritual practice this week is titled Move Forward, and it comes from a book called The Book of Forgiving that was written by Desmond Tutu and his daughter. Let me share that with you now. What they offer to us is that they say that the simple truth is that we all make mistakes and we all need forgiveness. There's no magic wand that we can wave to go back in time and change what has happened or undo the harm that has been done. But we can do everything in our power to set right what was made wrong. We can endeavor to make sure the harm never happens again, because we all need forgiveness. There are times when all of us have been thoughtless or selfish or cruel. As we have said earlier, no act is unforgivable. No person is beyond redemption. Yet, it is not easy to admit one's wrongdoing and ask for forgiveness. I am sorry, are perhaps the three hardest words to say. We can come up with all manner of justifications to excuse what we have done. However, when we are willing to let down our defenses and to look honestly at our actions, we find that there is a great freedom in asking for forgiveness and great strength in admitting the wrong. It's how we free ourselves from our past errors. It is how we are able to move forward into our future unfettered by the mistakes we have made. So I hope that you will find maybe some small way to ask for forgiveness in the coming week. Well, friends, we're going to enter into our dialogue session, so let's say goodnight to our podcast and YouTube listeners with our reminder that love is the way and that you are love. So stay awesome and be love, and we hope to see you soon here on Crowdcast. Good night.